think we can just about do without the guitar riff of Wild Cherry and play that funky music. Although, what a wonderful theme that might have been in a kind of 1980s Miami Vice sense, as we see Bill Watts and Sarah Chase driving on a road trip from Dublin to Galway, and they see a sign coming up, caution, agriculture. And being obviously country folk, they think, oh, they're being amusing in a kind of Irish wee sort of caution agriculture. And then what happens, Sarah Chase?
I learned that you always need to caution agriculture because in Ireland there are sheep.
Yes, baa, baa, baa. But Sarah, being the saint that she actually is, she didn't plough into that and say, ooh, lamb chops for tea.
Well, that was my husband was kind of thinking that. Mm-hmm.
You decided, no, I'm going to go for the berries in the hedge.
I took out the hedge, yeah.
Yeah, there we are. Fantastic stuff.
The rental car company wasn't so excited about that one.
Oh, but, dear. So when did this happen then, Sarah?
That was on our honeymoon 3 years ago.
What a wonderful start. You see, that's why that's why they had 3 years of happiness celebrated.
I did mention that this was after like 24 hours of straight travel and, we get to Ireland and the whole... driving on the other side of the road. Thing,
Sarah, it was the little people that were, they were the ones that did it. Those wee tiny leprechauns. Sure enough, they did indeed. They jumped and they said, we're going to create some havoc now. We are, sure enough.
You know, when I told that to Hertz rental car, they didn't actually think that was so amusing.
Hertz do not believe in leprechauns.
I don't think so, no, but National. What? National do. They have the Emerald Isle Club, so you're all set.
I should hope so, too. So, in addition to that, on Rural TV's Good Times Dispatch, and let's face it, it's always good times with Rural TV. They don't even pay me these days for saying those sort of lines. Unbelievable. But you were talking about the recent results, GCSEs, university degrees and so on and so forth, and you're actually suggesting that in your own wonderful way, Sarah, there's a possibility of getting farming... a different image. Take away the straw hanging out of mouth, anachronistic muck-shoveling farmers. This is not what farming's about in the 21st century. It's much more exciting.
It's much more exciting, and it's, no farms, no food. It's basically that simple. Mm. And there's a lot of talk about sending students, who are running out of university options to technical schools and to apprenticeships, but there's a lot to be said for land-based colleges and for agricultural careers. And that falls, you at the University of Lincoln, you've got programs in media studies. There's a big demand for people in the rural sectors who know how to do PR and marketing and who can do public relations and who can sort of help farmers learn how to use a computer, how to market themselves within urban areas, and to basically kind of diversify what they offer for their farming interests.
We also, of course, have Rise Home as well, and I think it's well worth sort of noting from that point of view that, who knows, Sarah, you could have actually just put a finger on another sort of area of possible useful employment for various colleagues in the next few years. But we'll just see where things go on that basis. Anyway, Joy, anything you'd like to sort of throw at Sarah Chase about life, the universe, the Marty Stewart show, the fantastic Jacksonville Jamboree, and the amazing Sunday 10th of October Country Music 2010 Awards, the British Country Music 2010 Awards, taking part actually at a fascinating place that I hadn't realised still actually existed, but does. It runs more than darts. It's the Lakeside Country Club, Frimley Green, Surrey.
Oh, sounds very nice indeed.
Indeed.
Don't ask me anything about it. I've never been there.
I mean, it has become legend for people, being on the hockey. And now, in one, we have this. And one, you need one. 220. And I'm sure it's the Lakeside. This is a prime sort of base for many of our wonderful darts players.
Oh, right. Okay.
I've frequently heard that. Unless I'm completely wrong.
Has country music got a big following in the UK yet? Sarah, I mean, my dad always used to like country music.
Hawaiian guitars.
Oh, he had it on in every car journey. He'd put his country music, and he'd go, "Oh, you kids might moan about it now, but when you're older, you'll love it."
And do you?
No, I'm traumatized by it.
Chances are you just haven't found the right kind of country music. There's kind of several genres within country itself, and we've got sort of a spread of them across the board. Some's modern, some's traditional. We have some bluegrass. And it's sort of what your heart desires. A lot of people right now, I'm presuming your age group is sort of within the 20 to 30 range. You probably like Mumford & Sons, some of the new artists that are coming out there who are sort of a little bit more roots and maverick style.
As opposed to the Mavericks, who I suspect are not quite in the same sort of zone, really. But you never know. It's always a possibility. That's the key thing.
But we're constantly sort of developing shows that we've got a lot of vintage country shows that are available, like Presley's Country Jubilee, Gospel Sampler, Country's Family Reunion, and then we've got the, excuse me, those aren't the vintage shows, but we've got the Porter Wagoner Show, and then we've got Oh, Pop Goes the Country, which is sort of a really great collection of clips from some of the past most recognized country artists. And then we've got some new ones like Larry's Country Diner, True Country, which is a really great show that comes out of Texas. And if you're in the States, you know, there's two areas for country music, one sort of Texas country and then one sort of Nashville. And there's a little bit of tension between the two because everyone says that Nashville's gone Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And if you want true country, you got to go to Texas now.
And is that true?
I would tend to think it's true. I want to be careful with what I say because it's people write, you know, manifestos about which is true country, which is Nashville country. And then I've sort of noticed that there's a different kind of country sound even here in the UK that you get. Mm-hmm. And you have some people who just sort of want to copy American country sound. And then you've got people here who are a little bit more, they have kind of a bit of a Celtic folk sound to them, which is still in the country vein, but it's distinctly British.
No country, no rock and roll. That's the key thing, really. Roots, interconnectivity, all of those wonderful things. Sarah, it's been a fairly tight and hectic show in a whole range of ways. So we still need to actually squeeze in a pre-record we actually did with the Muslim Hands Appeal, obviously in aid of the recent Pakistan, or say recent ongoing Pakistan situation from that point of view. From your own perspective, we've had a bizarre year, what with obviously Haitian earthquakes, wheat disasters in Russia, and clearly wheat prices affected from that point of view, the Chinese earthquake scenario, and of course the floods in Pakistan. What are your views on this? Do you just think, well, we're fortunate to actually be either in Connecticut or indeed in London? Otherwise, you know, it's just sad times. Or do you think we need to sort of learn from this? We need to maybe sort of think about how the planet's responding?
I think we need to learn from this. I think the planet's sort of putting up little signs every once in a while that go, hey, pay attention to what I'm doing here. And you know,
the metaphor you see the signs.
Never fool Mother Nature.
Now, you see the signs, and if you ignore them, you can either end up in the hedge or killing some sheep. Do you see how we draw that together?
Okay.
You see, that's the learning we see. That's what you call not
brilliant,
so much...
Brilliant, Alex, brilliant.
Yeah, it's not so much the Rural TV speech as the Rural TV meets Siren 107.3 FM parable of the week, really.
Yeah. And now, did you read down all the way to the bottom of the newsletter from my...
I always read down all the way to the Alexander the Great quote, I am not afraid of an army of lions led by sheep. I am afraid of an army of sheep led by a lion.
Get the whole sheep theme that goes throughout this.
Yes, well, precisely. Get British wool in the 2012 Olympics.
That's right.
Sign the petition. Have you signed the petition, Joy?
Sorry, no.
No.
I didn't know about the petition.
Sign the petition to get British wool in the 2012 Olympics.
Oh. You have to go to wfulondon.org.uk. Mm. It always sounds a little bit funny when you say WFU, but it stands for the Women's Food and Farming Union.
Exactly. And we started following up on Helen's wonderful suggestion, Helen Boer's line about the Chinese lanterns and how the WFU, Women's Farmers Union, are actually coming out against Chinese lanterns in fields.
Yeah. Did you see them on BBC the other night?
No, that's the short answer.
They've been getting some coverage out there in the fields.
I'm not surprised. Yeah, there's a whole key thing from that point of view. Sarah Chase, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat with us on Siren 107.3 FM today?
I have had a wonderful time. Can I give one quick plug for our country club that's coming up?
Of course you can.
If you go to www.rfdtv.com, you can sign up for the country club, which is your chance now to get Rural TV streaming 24/7 online plus video on demand, and it's a little bit less than £10 per month, and if you sign up now, your first month is free.
You see, it's like Ken Kitson's books, you see, a little bit less, $9.99. Yeah. There we are.
So if any of our viewers are watching us on Freeset who can't watch the channel right now, you go and sign up online.
That is a solution. There is a solution. It's technologically oriented. You might have challenges if you're, as Sarah Huntley was, in the wilds of Cornwall, but there is a way forward. Excellent. Sarah Chase, we salute you. And moving dexterously on from that, we return to a pre-record feature that we put together just a day or so ago with Usman Loney, a media coordinator for the charity MuslimHands.org. And one of the first questions I actually put to Usman was just to talk us through the background to Muslim Hands. What was it set up for? How is it set up? And what does it do?
It was up in 1993 by a group of Muslims after atrocities in Bosnia with the ethnic cleansing movement. And since then we've gone on from strength to strength, and now we have offices in over 40 countries all over the world, and our UK headquarters is in Nottingham.
Excellent. So it's clearly sort of developing in all sorts of ways. So, I mean, clearly at the start you do a lot more than clearly just the immediate help for Pakistan, but presumably that's one of the areas where there's been a focal point to obviously the work that you're doing.
Yes, at the moment we have 7 offices in Pakistan, and we have 238 ground staff there permanently. They're full hands on deck at the moment dealing with the flood emergency. We also have hundreds of volunteers there working with them all around the clock, in fact. And unfortunately, one of our staff members passed away yesterday in the field on duty, trying to help some people in the Pakistan floods. So it's quite a somber day today, in fact.
So obviously our thoughts and condolences go out to the family, etc. I mean, in such times, there really isn't anything that one can say other than sort of deepest sympathy from this. Now, certainly in terms of the mass media, there was a feeling at the start that somehow people were almost forgetting about Pakistan. It almost became, shall we say, a forgotten crisis, really. Is that still the case?
No, that's not the case anymore. Originally, the UN had pledged a $249 million budget. They increased that to $446 after initial outcries that the response was too slow. And now that has, in fact, increased to $880 million. So the aid is definitely getting there now, and we are really nearly reaching the $1 billion mark.
Although, obviously, despite the sort of finance, it's no substitute for people's livelihoods and lives that have been lost in a shocking scale. You mentioned at the start, obviously, in terms of setting the organisation up, etc., is it something that's been must needed? I mean, we've often spoken within the Teesside area to various Muslims who've come in to do various readings at various times. It's something which is often difficult to understand, the range of things that are almost, dare I say, as difficult to understand as perhaps the troubles in Northern Ireland were difficult to understand for many other sort of outsiders and people not connected with it.
Yes, I see what you mean, yes. But how would you like me to elaborate on that? Because I can't speak on behalf of Muslims in Teesside, I'm afraid.
No, absolutely. No, I'm just sort of thinking about it. Because in terms of what you're doing, as you rightly said, you're very much focusing on ensuring that, you know,